Okay, we're gonna start. Can you tell me your full name?
My full name is Catherine with a C. Last name is Hogue, H-O-G-U-E.
Okay. I understand that you are retired and works for our seniors at the Employment Center, which is also known as the Unemployment Center. Can you tell me what kind of work did you do before?
I started out my first, well, we don't maybe don't want to go all the way to my first job. I delivered newspapers. That was my first job. The one that I got after I completed high school was with the telephone company, AT&T. And they didn't hire a lot of African-Americans in Champaign. As a matter of fact, there was only one that I knew that worked there, Ms. Bowles, who also was a lifelong member at Salem. I went to Chicago and got employed at the phone company, subsequently transferred back to Champaign, Illinois, where I was born and raised. And I worked there for 25 years. I was a supervisor and chief union steward. As a matter of fact, I was probably only the second African-American that was supervisor at the telephone company.
You also told me that your education didn't really help prepare you for what you do for a living.
And I think my parents kind of did. I know that my education had some involvement in that, because in operator services, you do have to be able to speak distinctly, clearly. My mother used to tell me I need to modulate. I had to learn what that meant, because I speak very loud, so I've learned to modulate.
Well, I speak low. So.
You do speak very low.
So you stated you were born in Champaign and you moved to Chicago for the television. How was it like moving back to Champaign with five children?
Well, actually, I was told when I left Chicago that I probably wouldn't be able to make it with those five children being a single parent, but I was determined, and both my parents at that time were living in 1973, so it was relatively easy when I moved back to Champaign, having both parents. Three sisters who still reside in Champaign, Urbana. My brothers, of course, moved away, so I had all of that. I still had family support.
I also understand that both of your neighborhoods in Champaign, Urbana, and Chicago were mixed. And do you think that was the best for your life and your children's life?
For my children, I know that it was important that I moved them out of the Chicago area, because the schools that they attended, all of the teachers were black, all of the students were black. Other children, of course, could go out of the area to attend school and had the finances that allowed them to move away. I attended all black schools. Everything north of University Avenue, as I said, was all black. Our teachers were all black. My first exposure to, well, I shouldn't say my first exposure, because I used to work with my mother, so I know a lot of Caucasians. But in the school system, my first exposure was seventh grade. It was like overwhelming. You know, it was something that you had never seen. You hadn't interacted with them. You hadn't been in gym class. You didn't take showers with them. So that was pretty much the first exposure.
I understand that you became a member of Salem Church when you were 12.
Yes.
How long before you became a member did you attend Salem Baptist Church?
I probably attended since I was able to walk. That's where my mother attended. As a matter of fact, my mother was always at Salem, and we went to Sunday school, even though she was preparing dinner and preparing to be at church. But it was our obligation to go to Sunday school every Sunday. So I was a member long before I became 12 years old.
Well, we have something in common because I was too. And yeah. I became a member at 12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How many years back did you teach Sunday school?
Oh, let's see. It was probably like 40 years.
40 years.
Mm-hmm. So now you want to know how old I am.
I'm not going to ask that question.
I don't have a problem because I know I'm blessed when I have five adult children, 10 grandchildren, because each of my children had two. So I have five children, 10 grandchildren. Right now I have seven great-grandchildren and working on those two more.
Whoa,
and they're spread all over everywhere. All of them did not remain in Champaign, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You said that the church, when you attended it when you were young, it didn't really talk about racism, but it talked about education.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of education?
We just talked about always being yourself, and continuing to learn. I consider myself a lifelong learner because I learned that early on that you're never too old to learn. One of the things my mom used to tell me, I continue to tell my children that I will probably graduate from college by the time I'm 65 or 70.
The elementary schools you went to, you attended, was Law Head,
mm-hmm.
which was first to third grade, right? Am
yes.
I correct?
If I remember correctly at this age.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your junior high school you attended was called Willard.
That was the, like the fourth through the sixth grade.
Fourth through sixth.
Yeah, was Willard School. And just like I said, that's right now is the parking lot for Salem Baptist Church. That's where my school stood. So everything was within walking distance.
Can you tell me what school or schools did you attend after Willard School?
It was Central High School, but it wasn't a high school. It was the junior high school when I attended. Edison was the high school, and then they kind of flip-flopped. So Edison then became the junior high, and Central became the high school, which is where I graduated.
Okay. You stated that your education, your counselors, didn't encourage you to do big things in life, like going to college. Which schools were they?
Both schools, because I think in junior high school you should be always encouraged to further your education. It was suggested at the time that we take classes like typing and home ec. Those are the kind of, and maybe that was some racism that was subtle, because I wasn't aware that they are telling me or subtly saying to me, Catherine, you're probably going to be a housekeeper or a secretary. You know, so you need to prepare yourself for these kind of things. Take home ec, take sewing, take secretarial classes. And those were the kind of things they encouraged me at school. But like I say, fortunately had a mother who was an educator, and she said, you can be anything you want to be. And I still get that reinforcement from my siblings.
Do you remember what race was the teachers who told you this?
In middle school, or not middle school, junior high school and high school, all of my teachers were Caucasian. They were all white. I don't remember when I got to junior high and high school that I had any African-American teachers.
Were there any teachers or counselors that tried to encourage you?
Oh, back in when I was in grade school, since all of my teachers were African American, kind of reinforced the same things that my mother said. Catherine, you can do anything. You just got to sit down, focus on it. Because I was a real active person. I love sports, like to play sports. Those were where my interests were because my dad was in sports. As a matter of fact, when I left the sixth grade, and I still had siblings there, my dad was a physical education teacher at Willard School. So you know how my siblings felt with, hey, here comes Dad. Yeah.
When they discouraged you, how did that make you feel at the moment?
Well, I think at that particular time makes you feel like maybe they're right. You know, they've been with me for a year. Maybe they see some things that I'm just not aware of. But always when you leave school and you have these parents that say, don't let that discourage you. Know how to do this. Just focus on that. So it didn't, I mean, it psychologically probably affected me, but as far as doing what I want to do, I still have that same feeling, even at this age, that I can accomplish anything that I set out to do.
What kind of grades did you get when you attended an all-black school?
I think my grades kind of stayed the same from elementary all the way through high school, and it's basically C all the way down the line. I'd be so encouraged if I ever could move it up to a B, but my mom always felt that if this is your best, this is good. If you bring it up to, I mean, you can always try harder. And I still encouraged my children, my grandchildren, and will do the same with my great-grandchildren. If you make a C and you work a little harder and it moves up to a B, maybe if you work a little harder, you can move to an A. Because I think everybody, when they start out in first grade, they make straight A's, you know, and you hope that continues, but it doesn't always continue.
Do you feel you got a good education?
I feel like I have an excellent education, not necessarily from Unit 4, but with all of the things that are around me, my parents, sisters, neighbors. I think that I have an excellent education.
Which school experiences were life-shaping or life-changing?
I think going from elementary into junior high school, simply because you're introduced to an entirely new culture. Like I say, I had not been around people some of the people that I associated with in junior high school. Their parents owned a lot of things. They had a lot of things. I can remember wanting to wear cashmere sweaters, and it's like, who can afford cashmere? But I also remember when my mom worked at the University of Illinois, and so we'd get what we call hand-me-downs. I mean, whatever people discarded, and my mother always taught us that you never reject any of the, if somebody's giving you something, you never, even if you're never going to wear it, you don't tell them you don't want it. You're going to accept that graciously. And since I was, and my grandkids say, not very tall, all of my sisters and brothers are taller than I am, so I ended up wearing a lot of hand-me-downs. But you learn how to be proud of those things. And that was just something that we were taught, which is something I think young people lose.
Do you remember any point in your life where you felt discriminated? Because earlier I remember you said you knew a lot of Caucasians.
I felt, especially when I got into the workforce, because one of the reasons I had applied at the phone company here in Champaign, right out of high school, knew I knew everything and could do this job, could not get hired in Champaign. Subsequently moved to Chicago, got hired in Chicago. 5 years later, I'm back in Champaign as probably the second black supervisor at the telephone company. So that was where I first, I guess when you get into the workforce, then you really recognize, because I, the lady that interviewed me, she said, Catherine, what do you think you could do? And so I just asked, I said, what's your job title? And she told me, I said, I can do what you do. I can have people walk in the door and say, you know, what do you think you're qualified to do? So I just had that feeling that there wasn't anything that I couldn't do. And I still have that feeling.
Were there, earlier you said they told you that you weren't really college material and you take contact. Mm-hmm. Were there certain students they was telling that to?
Oh, I'm sure majority of the African American students they didn't feel were college material. I mean, we weren't pushed to be prepared for college. You need to take, only my dad told me, because once you got ready to go into the ninth grade, you had to take college preparatory. They say, Catherine, if you don't want to take math, you don't have to take any more math after eighth grade. So those were the kind of subtle things that would not prepare you, because you know English, math, those are subjects that you always have to have if you're planning to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Were there any Caucasians that they ever told this to? Do you know of any Caucasians?
I wouldn't be aware of that, because when you talk to counselors, it's usually one-on-one. But we didn't go to career planning classes, because as a supervisor at the phone company, I taught career planning courses. I would go into the different schools and talk about the career that I was in and how I started and just moved on up. And those were the kind of things that were encouraging to me, that, you know, to see somebody that looks like me that can do things, you know.
When you went in for the interview for the phone company,
mm-hmm.
when they told you they didn't really hire, like,
mm-hmm. actually, they never say that. They mm-hmm. just say they're not hiring right now, or we'll get back to you. They don't say they're not going to hire me because I'm black.
No, I meant what you said, but mm-hmm. in a different.
Mm-hmm.
Did that shape a different view of Caucasians?
No, I mean I think that I understood they had never met a person like me, you know, somebody that was determined. And so I, like I say, when I left Champaign, I said, I want to work as an operator. I've always aspired, even if you start there, there are advancement opportunities. I didn't see a lot of that in other employment locally, except with the University of Illinois or Kraft or some factory or plant, and that wasn't what I wanted to do. I enjoy working with people, and I jokingly now tell people, the phone company paid me to do what I do best, and that's talk.
How did your teachers treat you on a normal basis?
I think they all liked the kind of personality that I had. It sometimes was mischievous, you know, but I think that they appreciated that, and they would always have me up reading or speaking, because my mother always stressed, my dad stressed handwriting, my mom stressed enunciation, modulation, how you articulate. So I think people just like to hear me talk.
How did your classmates treat you?
Fine. They talked about how not very tall I was, but I never had any problems. I had one young man, and I still call him young man. I still see him. He used to be he called himself my bodyguard, because he'd walk me to and from school if he thought somebody was going to be picking on me, because like I say, and since I was 12 years old, I've not grown. I've been the same size, so had to get accustomed to my height. And it always makes me feel good when people say, "Catherine, how tall are you?"
Well, did you play any sports in school?
I play all sports. In school, I didn't, because young ladies weren't allowed to play anything except, I think, basketball, and they could run track. But as I say, both my brothers were very active in sports. My dad was very active. He first played, then he coached, then he umpired. So I played basketball, football, volleyball, run track, not in school, because they just didn't have those programs for young ladies. Now they do.
Was there any favorite memories you had playing sports?
When I played or now?
Anytime.
I just like all sports, because my dad said you need to first learn the sport, know the rules, so I can enjoy baseball, basketball, football. And my son, when he got married, his wife never liked to watch sports like the Super Bowl. He would always come over. He'd say, "Mom, I know you were going to be watching the Super Bowl." So I watch them all, and I really do enjoy sports because I understand it.
So was there any difficult memories?
No, just my memories, though, are just that I think that I probably could have done more to go on to college, but I don't dwell on that because I know that I still have an opportunity if I choose to do that.
When you were in school, were there any clubs you belonged to?
No, I don't think we had. I mean, we couldn't. I just didn't see myself in a photography club or any of, and I never aspired to be class president or any of those things. I just wanted to go there, learn what I needed to learn, finish those 12 years, and be done.
Did your parents have any expectations for you? High expectations?
I don't think, if they did, they never shared that with me. They just always encouraged me to do my best, to be the best that I could be, you know, to be fair to other people, and I tried to do that. But they never expected Catherine's going to be the valedictorian, you know. They never expected those. At least they didn't share that information with me.
What people help shape who you are, like your role models?
First of all, my mom was my main role model. I have sisters that are younger that I still look up to. And I don't know that there's any one person that, except my mom, that comes out as a person that I really would like to emulate.
How are you treated in your community?
As a young person?
Mm-hmm.
Since, like I say, my family was born and raised here, my mom and dad, people had high respect and regard for the two of them. So I think that we as children were always highly respected, and simply because of who our parents were.
Did your family and friends ever talk about any of the ongoing civil rights battles to end segregation?
I don't know that my family talked about it, but I know as I got older and became involved with organizations like NAACP, Concerned Citizens for Better Neighborhoods, League of Women Voters, I find that and as a union steward with the telephone company, there are discrimination everywhere, you know, and we have to learn how to deal with that.
At what point of your life did you first realize of Brown versus Board of Education?
I think as my children, when they came back, we came from Chicago to Champaign, and they entered into the Champaign schools. And we lived just one block north of University Avenue. Washington School was right up the street. Marquette School, which was still an elementary school, was just on the other side. But they were bused from 3rd and Park, or 2nd and Park, to Bottenfield. Something is wrong with that picture. You know, for them to have to get on the bus and ride all the way that far when they could walk across the street here or three blocks up the street to Washington.
If you had a message for kids today, young African Americans, what would it be?
It would be to be the best that they can be, because you can do, just as my mother told me, anything that your little heart desires. You can be anything that you want to be. Everything takes a little work, and you learn that. But you certainly can accomplish anything, even if you think about it. If you're not sure, ask somebody. They will let you know how to get that done.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the interview.
Oh, I loved it. It's always my pleasure.
I'm going to ask Jessica, do she have any follow-up questions? Jessica, do you have any follow-up questions?
I thought it was good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting
me. Have a nice
day
here.
I shall.
Can I get a few photos? So basically, could you just ask one more thing so that we get a real... I wondered if you wanted to follow up with the busing thing. You know how her kids were bused from, and she said that she thought it wasn't very good. I wonder if maybe you could pursue that a little, and I'll get some.
How did your kids feel about it?
You know, I found that I used to walk them to the bus almost every morning, even though I worked all night. I'd get off at 7, walk them down to, you know, where the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
They caught the bus there. I'd walk them to the bus. They would be, I think, just, there's so many children out there. There's so many opportunities for arguments, fights, roughhousing. They look like they had been at school all day by the time they get on the bus, because they're just, and they stand there for so long because there was no place to go inside. That was when the boys' club was just the one little building. So they had to be outside waiting on the bus, and that was everybody, most of the children from Washington Street all the way back to the north side of University Avenue that would go to Bottenfield. And then I'm not sure even where the dividing lines were that with the different districts or which buses they catch, but there would be so many children. Because there used to be a lot of houses in that area. Now a lot of them have been torn down or moved. But just a lot. And I asked my youngest son, who now is 37, if he thought that made a difference in his education. I had one that was able to attend Washington School. Then you had to be in a gifted or special program so he could go to Washington. But the others went to Bottenfield, and I just think it would have been a lot better had they been able to leave home at a decent time, walk to school, which would only be a couple of blocks. So,
did you ever go and try to talk to the head of the board?
Oh, I still attend some of the school board meetings, but yeah, I've done that. John Lee Johnson and I talked about some of the problems that were going on in the system. Still continue to be problems in the system, because basically my children at that time were bused purely for desegregation, not for education. They wanted to go to Bottenfield because we need this number over here. And that's why they were bused. And I continue to say that, purely for desegregation.
Right. Mm-hmm. But now they go by where you live at.
Well, now they have choices. then it went by where you live. If you lived in this square, this is the school. If you live in this square, this is the school. Now at least parents have a choice, even down to kindergarten. They can choose if there are slots available where they want their children to go.
So you feel that's one of the best?
Oh, I think it's absolutely. Everybody should have a choice. Right. You know, you have choices. Where you want to go to college, where you want to work, you have choices. Just have to be ready to make them.
Sometimes it's kind of hard for the choices, though.
Sure.
It's hard decisions to make in life.
But that's the way life is. But you still have to do it. There are going to be a lot of tough decisions, but, you know, you have to do, because I can remember as a teenager, I didn't have to make the decisions that I had to make as a parent for my teenagers. So there are lots of tough decisions, you know.
It is hard being a teenager.
I know. I've raised some, and I was one. So, yeah, it is difficult. But we survive. We survive.
Right. See? As long as you got your family.
When you get to be my age, you'll understand it better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I say, my sisters, three of them who are all here in Champaign, I have a brother in Arizona, and one in Atlanta. All of my sisters are here. Only one of them is older. She's in a nursing home right now. But I can call them, ask them anything. And they will be very honest now. They don't just try to, you know,
that's
soft.
All my sisters. Yeah, I used to think they was just being mean, but they just tell me the truth.
Yeah, they will be very honest about what they feel. And that's good because it's helpful to you. Because you need to know. Other people may be thinking it and not say it, but they're going to tell you.
Oh, they let me know everything they're thinking. I'm the youngest.
That is good.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I have one question.
Sure.
What adjustments did you have going from an all-black school to an all-white school?
Just to see the difference in treatment. I mean, to see, and the difference in instructors, because when I went to an all-black school, they could make things that would be specific to African Americans. When you go into a mixed school, then you deal with, we're talking about a whole broad spectrum of society. To me, like I say, even though my mother had worked around them, I had been around them when I'm working with my mother, I'd not been in a classroom with them. And it just seemed that, as my daughter once said, they would not call on you if you had your hand raised because they just assumed you're not prepared. Like, we can't be prepared as you are. And they may have been right, but I can remember my mother saying, just continue to go in there, raise your hand, you know, and hope that they call on you. But you could see, even as a young person, that there was a difference. Okay.
When you went to school and they didn't call on you when you had your hands, do you ever feel that when they knew that you didn't know the question, did they ever call on you when your hand wasn't up?
No. Sometimes I felt ignored, which is why there were things that we could do for extra credit, like book reports or history reports. And so I do those kind of things just to keep my grades where they needed to be, simply because the teacher or I had one teacher that called on me once, and I think that I misspoke or I said something that wasn't right, and that encouraged me to take a speech class because I couldn't get up in front of the class and talk. I knew that I needed this speech class that would help me be able to do that.
Thank you.
Well, you're entirely welcome. Thank you for inviting me. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
But anyways,
did we do okay?
You did. I want to ask you, you said your sons or your children were among the first to be bused. Are they in town? Do they do any of them live
One. Oh, I've got a 40.
Do you?
45 year old.
Do you?
1, 2, 3 of them.
They
are
do.
In town.
Do you think that they might be able to be interviewed, or that would they be? Do you think they'd be available? The students might want to.
Yeah, I can check with them and see. I mean, they're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know the busing started in 66, I was reading. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right? Were they?
But I was gone.
Oh,
see, I left Champaign in 1960. Uh-huh. I didn't come back till 72.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it would have been sometime in the 70s
yeah.
that they were bused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well,